I'm Mark Bayshore. It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Our next guest is renowned for her decades of work to improve education for the impoverished in Calcutta, India. Sister Cyril Mooney was initiated into the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or the Loreto Order, in her native Ireland in 1955. She's been affiliated with the Loreto School of Calcutta almost all the years since. Launched during India's days as a British colony, the English-speaking school catered to the country's more affluent middle and upper classes. However, Sister Cyril became appalled at the poverty outside the walls of the school and altered its mission. Though it meant less income, she cut the number of fee-paying students in half when she became the leader of the school in 1979. The school then began admitting poor children who attend for free. Years of similar outreach and service efforts have followed. We welcome Sister Cyril Mooney to Current State. Welcome to East Lansing.
Thank you very much.
I'm assuming that trying to educate more affluent students, more worldly students, I guess, with since you know they come from more affluent families, I'm assuming that educating them right alongside much poorer children poses real challenges. Is that as hard as it sounds?
Actually, it's not really, because we admit these poorest children at the age of 4, and they come into school, they get the same uniform as everyone else. Parents, affluent parents, pay for the uniform, and we find the money to pay for the uniform for the children. So they're all admitted into the same class at the age of 4, and they grow up together. And we have established a philosophy of non-competition. You compete with your own best performance. Don't bother about other people. The gifts you have from God are your special gifts. So don't seek to emulate someone else's gifts. Work hard and develop everything that God has given you so that you can do very well according to what God has given you. And the idea is that we prepare our children to actually join society as agents of human change. Not violent change, but human change, where they look around themselves and they see the issues that they should work at, and they work at those issues. That's the whole object of the education.
But uniforms, you see uniforms as a pretty important feature of the school?
Yeah, uniforms are a great leveler.
Okay.
You know, and especially where girls are concerned, because girls love, as you know, or should know, to dress up if you have any daughters. So a uniform makes everybody equal. You don't know who the background is. But one of the instructions I give my captains, because they check uniforms every morning at assembly, is that they recognize the very poorest children by looking at their footwear. Because the footwear, you don't have, if you're very poor, you don't have enough polish to keep your shoes bright and shiny and enough soap to wash your socks so they're absolutely white.
All the time in this country, we hear of the importance of one-on-one learning where teachers are available to students individually. Is that an important part of your approach as well?
Well, it's an important part of our approach, particularly when we have our street children, whom we call Rainbow. They come into the school as and when they're free. So, our gates are always open. That's our slogan. And when they come in, they're coming straight off the street. Many times they have never been to school, even at the age of 10, 11, 12. They're busy trying to survive. So we have a program which is part of our government program called Socially Useful Productive Work. Now, it's usually known in most schools as so many useful periods wasted. But with us, I said, what more socially useful productive work than that the general run of regular students should teach these children coming off the street on a one-to-one basis. Extremely cost-effective, because you don't have to pay teachers, and they get 2 periods per week on their program. So if I put all those periods together, we get the entire day, I have a reservoir of about 50 teachers, free and ready to teach whoever comes. And these 10, 11-year-old kids make fantastic progress. We can complete their whole primary program in a year with them if they come regularly.
Sister Cyril Mooney is our special guest here today on WKAR's Current State. For decades, she has worked in Calcutta, India, at the Loreto School to improve educational opportunities for impoverished children there. Have you tracked what impact your school has had on graduates? You've been doing this a long time. Do your graduates tend to go on to productive lives?
Actually, even our street children, all of them tend to go on even to college. Because in Calcutta, in India, college education is relatively cheap if you go to government colleges. And even the poorest of our street children has the opportunity to get on to college if they complete class 12, which would be roughly equivalent, I think, to your higher secondary. I'm not sure what you have here. So in that sense, all our students would get up to class 12. And if they have a good command of English, then they can get jobs straight away.
Next year marks the 60th anniversary of your arrival in India.
Yes.
October 10th, 1956. Do you remember that day well? And do you remember your frame of mind the day that you arrived? What was your mood?
Well, I arrived, we came out by boat, and that was during the crisis, 1956. The Suez Canal was blocked, so we came around by Cape Town. And we have Loretto sisters in Cape Town also, so they took us off the boat for a day. And I fell into the Indian Ocean trying to get someone's photograph. I remember very well. They took us for a ride right around the South Africa. I don't know exactly where we went. But I do remember coming back very excitedly to the nuns. And I'm still reminded by one of the sisters who was with me. I came back and I said, "Oh, I saw zebras grazing in a field." Which they thought was very funny, of course.
Well, your PhD is in zoology. Was there a time when you were thinking of another career path other than what happened?
No, I always thought of being a teacher from the time I was very young. And so my my PhD is in zoology. It's on a lizard, a little wall lizard that runs around on the walls, known as Hemidactylus flaviviridis rupel. And I have done endocrine studies, thyroid and reproductive physiology.
From your perspective, Sister Cyril, why is poverty such an ongoing problem in Calcutta?
Well, it's an ongoing problem all over India. And the real reason is that we have a huge population and we haven't yet managed to conquer the very dreadful situation of having half the world's children not in school. 50 million children still not in school, although big efforts now are being made. And we have a new RT Act, which mandates that every child from the age of 6 to 14 has to be in school.
It's not uncommon for us to hear in this country to hear news that India is growing economically, that more people are becoming more affluent, that the country is a greater economic force in the world economy. Is that true? Do you see evidence of that?
Yes, I do see evidence of that very much. The teachers' salaries have been raised. Lots of good things are happening, but we're held back by the enormous number of poor people. And you see, there's no guarantee for a poor person that they will have anybody to look after them when they get old. So they have lots of children. So it's very difficult to control the population.
It's easy to assume that your work has been to glorify God, but do you have a personal sense of accomplishment because of your work? Do you ever celebrate in your own way what you have done?
Well, I don't think I've done anything very special. I just seized opportunity whenever I got the opportunity. I had the mindset that as a person and a Loretto sister in India, that I wasn't out just to look after very well-off children who I could have found in my own country. So I was very much moved by the plight of these poorer children, whom nobody bothered about. Catholic children were not so badly off because in our Catholic schools we have a mandate to take them in. But what about the Hindu children? Even the Muslim children have schools to go to. But the Hindu majority, the poorer ones, right at the bottom of the pile, they have nothing. They're in the vicious cycle of poverty. They can't afford a good school. Government schools are overcrowded, maybe 110 children to one teacher.
Did you ever become acquainted with Mother Teresa?
Very much so, yes. She was just down the road from me. And she knew me by name and so on, and I knew her also.
Did you ever collaborate on anything?
Well, yeah. Well, I asked her sisters when I was doing admissions. I said, if you find any very poor children in the slums. And at that stage, I was more concerned for the poor Catholic children because many of those were not coming in. But she turned up with crowds and crowds of Muslims and Hindus and everybody. So I had to sort them all out and do whatever I could with them.
What will be your foremost memory of Mother Teresa?
My memory of Mother Teresa. I'll tell you, at one stage the Pope came to visit us and he had said Mass in St. Xavier's. And I was there with all the crowds and crowds of people. And she was up on the stage with all the dignitaries, you know, the cardinals and everybody who were there for him. And as we were going out home, I was delayed because I was busy chatting around with all my friends. And I was one of the almost last. And I was going out and I heard this, Mother Cyril, Mother Cyril. And I turned around and there was Mother Teresa, surrounded by a huge phalanx of military and police, everybody almost laying themselves down so she could walk on them. So I waited for her and she said, come with me, come with me, I'm all alone. And I couldn't because I was on a, had to go and get my scooter and drive home. But I walked with her as far as they had a Black Mariah ready for her. I don't know if you know what Black Mariahs are here. They're kind of black police vans, you know.
Okay.
And inside in the van, there was wall-to-wall carpeting and a lovely armchair for her to sit on. So anyway, I saw her into the van and I came home. What struck me at that stage was that here was a woman who was so totally humble, and yet she was being treated with all this adulation. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, this is really God's way of giving her a cross. If you look at all the great founders of religious congregations, all of them went through periods of persecution and suffering. And she seemed to never have that. Mm. Because the media were always on her side. Mm-hmm. And I realized at that point, this was her suffering. Mm.
Sister Cyril Mooney, it's been a great pleasure having you here today. Enjoy your visit to Michigan. Sister Cyril Mooney is headmistress of the Laredo School, where she has been working for decades here in Calcutta, India. Many thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.